Bear with. Great, as we sit, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your provision for us. Thank you for how you meet our deepest needs. May we know you more deeply this morning. Amen. Amen. Now, this requires my glasses. Give me a second. For those of you who don't know me, my name's David. I'm one of the church wardens here. That still sounds slightly bizarre to say, but there we go. And we're reflecting this morning on that reading we've just had read for us. So last week, Smee was talking to us about God's protection, looking at the story of Daniel in the lion's den, a miraculous intervention where God protected Daniel. And this week we're looking at another miraculous intervention, this time one where God provides. Another very famous story where God intervenes. He breaks into a human story and does something incredible. I will explain the image on the screen in a second. Bear with. So, what happens? Jesus and his disciples crossed the Sea of Galilee, and lots of people followed them. These people had heard about his miracles. They were interested. They wanted to know more. It was a special time of year for the Jews because it was nearly the festival of Passover, big celebration, when they remembered being rescued from slavery in Egypt. And Jesus and his followers cross the sea, and they go up a mountain, and they sit down. And they're up on this mountain, and they're looking back down into the valley. And they can see all these people coming up after them. And there are, as the story says, quite a lot of them. So I was thinking about, what does 5,000 people look like? Now this is the Big Bank, which is the famous stand at the home end of St. James's Park football ground in Exeter, where in my teenage years I would often be found. The Big Bank holds just on 4,000 people when it's completely full. So 5,000 people is more than you could fit in that stand. And when Jesus sees them all coming, he does something very interesting. He turns to two of his disciples and he says first to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for all of these people to eat?" That is a remarkable question. There's this number of people coming up the mountain towards them in first century Israel, and Jesus says, "Where do you think we might be able to buy 5,000 sandwiches?" Philip, not entirely unreasonably, says, "We don't have that much money. To feed this many people would take the best part of a year's wages." Philip looks at the people, looks at the situation, and cannot see a way of dealing with it. But notice this, Jesus already knows what he's going to do. In verse 6, he says he had in mind what he planned to do. And then another disciple, Andrew, says, "There's a boy here," and he has 5 loaves, kind of, and 2 small fish. And Andrew asks the big question, how far will they go among so many? So Andrew and Philip both see the problem. They see the situation from a human perspective. Lots and lots and lots of people, small number of loaves, small number of fish. They see the situation from what they can see. Their response is defined by what they can see. And they seem defeated by it. How far will they go among so many? Now, Jesus is not defeated by the situation because he knows there is more going on than what can be seen. So he gets everyone to sit down, and the Bible tells us helpfully there was plenty of grass in that place, which is just as well. And he takes the loaves and the fish. He does the proper Jewish thing in thanking God for the food, and then he gives them out. And everybody ate and had enough. We don't know exactly what happened in the giving out process, but we do know that God provided and everybody ate. And then Jesus, in a kind of keep Galilee tidy moment, makes the disciples tidy up the leftovers. It's not entirely clear to me why they would have had 12 baskets with them, but we'll let that pass. But the point is, there was lots left. There really was more than could originally be seen. So it's an amazing story. It was a miracle, and the people there knew it was, and they said, like we said, surely this is the prophet. This must be God's messenger, because this was a miraculous thing to happen. Very small amount of food, huge number of people, everybody ate 12 baskets full of leftovers. So, what do we take from that? Well, first of all, I think God knows what we need. Jesus knew that in that moment, what all of those people needed was food. Not a sermon or an encouraging talk, but dinner. In Matthew's gospel, and when he was preaching to people another time, he said, "Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For your heavenly Father knows that you need those things." Your heavenly Father knows that you have physical, practical needs. God knows what you need today. What you need is not necessarily the same as what you might want. We want all sorts of things. I'd quite like to go to Switzerland. I don't need to go to Switzerland. I walk past Greg's. I want a donut. I certainly don't need a donut. I need to know that I am forgiven. I need to know that I am loved. I need enough food to eat and a roof over my head. God knows what we need. Second thing. There is more going on than we can see. Remember Philip and Andrew in the story. Philip said, "We don't have enough money." Andrew said, "We don't have enough food." Sometimes in our lives, what we can see is difficult, and we don't know what to do. But there was more going on here than could be seen. Jesus was doing something, and the disciples didn't know what it was. I often find in my own life, looking back, that God was doing something I couldn't see or didn't know about at the time. God is doing things here, now, today, in your life and in mine. We see what's going on around us. Like the disciples, we see the things that we can see. We see the problems in our world and in our own lives. We see the mess that other people make. We see the mess that we make. Sometimes, like Philip and Andrew, we can look at things and say, well, this is impossible. This is an impossible situation. But Jesus has in mind what he is going to do. There is more going on than we can see. Third thing, the point of this story is not the food. The gospel writers wrote this story down because it was unusual. It showed something important about Jesus, because it's not the sort of thing that happens all the time. I think they wrote the story of the miracles down that Jesus did because they were unusual, because they showed who Jesus was. Not necessarily that we should expect miraculous meals all the time. This isn't really a story about bread or fish. It's about Jesus demonstrating who he is by doing something amazing. It seems like he was deliberately reminding the Jews of other times when God did the same thing. A long time before this happened, when there was a famine in Israel, Elijah the prophet stayed with a widow, and her little supply of flour and olive oil didn't run out. They ate each day, and each night it was renewed, and they ate, and it was renewed, and they ate, and it was renewed. And when they were in the desert, God fed the whole nation when they left Egypt, sending them manna, food from heaven. And Jesus uses this situation to show everyone that there is something important about himself. Here is a man who is God among us, able to do miraculous things. Because, of course, actually, when the next day came, and all these people had gone back to their homes or travelled on with Jesus or whatever they were doing next, they would have got hungry again. Later in chapter 6, Jesus is teaching and he says, "You ate the bread and you were all full, but whoever eats ordinary bread will get hungry again. That's life, that's how things are. What you really need is the bread of life. Because if you have that bread, then your soul is satisfied in here." The miracle is not about food. It is about what we need to be made whole, to be truly satisfied. And finally, what does God's provision look like? It'd be easy to read this story and think that God's provision for our needs looks like miracles. It looks like 5,000 people being fed by one person's packed lunch. But as Smee reminded us last week, most of the time, that's not how it is. God gives us common sense and human ingenuity, and actually if we use those gifts differently and wisely, then potentially everybody in the world could have enough to eat. The World Food Programme, run by the UN, their website is clear that the world can produce enough food for everyone. So God provides for us in all sorts of ways. He gives us wisdom if we ask for it. He grows good qualities in us. He grows patience and kindness and goodness and love and self-control. He gives us curiosity and the ability to plan. He watches over us. He is present alongside us. He is with us. He gives us what we need. But in our country, even though it's a very wealthy country compared to other places, and even though the problems of hunger are far worse in other places, there are children going hungry in this country today. Our society is fundamentally unfair in some very basic ways. And that's why not everyone gets the same. It is a product of how our society, our world, is run and organized, and it could be different. So sometimes God's provision won't look like a miracle. Sometimes it will look like someone we know prompted by God's Spirit, giving us what we need. Sometimes we are the answer to our own prayers or even someone else's. God knows what we need, yes, but he also knows what the people around us need. I wonder who he might be calling you to be there for. So, just to summarise, God knows what you need, what we need. There is always more going on than we can see. In this story of a miraculous meal, he is showing us Jesus, the bread of life, because Jesus is what we need most of all. And God's provision for us can happen in all sorts of ways, including through each other. So we're just going to take a moment